Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy. All right, well, this week we continue our series in Summer of in the Psalms. And I'll be preaching from Psalm 84 today. If you're new here, my name is Randall, and I am the worship pastor here. I get the privilege of serving this body, and it is a joy to do it. So let's dive into Psalm 84. Charles Spurgeon, a pastor and preacher, he was known as the Prince of Preachers. He called Psalm 84 the Pearl of Psalms. Hence the reason why I chose it today. He also stated that if the 23rd Psalm is the most popular, the 103rd is the most joyful, the 119th is the most original, the 51st the most sorrowful, then this is one of the sweetest psalms of peace. This psalm celebrates the pilgrimage that the Jews would take to Jerusalem to go and worship in the temple. It was a part of the Feast of Booths, one of the three different feasts that they would go to Jerusalem and worship at the temple. So if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to turn to Psalm 84. We also have it on the screen here. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at the altars, O Lord of hosts. My King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. This past June, I took part in the Fourth Musketeer, and I'm guessing that was Sheldon. Maybe not. Or the Extreme Character Challenge, and yes, it was an Extreme Character Challenge. I took an oath at the end not to give anything away, so I will be very discreet in my details of this story. Anyways, at one point on the trip, we're hiking, and we had just finished at our last station, and it had been a long day of hiking, and we were getting our backpacks back on, and the team was, we were doing good, our spirits were good, but we were tired. And the leader at this station said, hey, just so you guys know, you're a kilometer and a half away from your camp. And we're like, really? Awesome. And we're just stoked because, you know, we had a long day. And so we get our backpacks on and we start walking and we continue walking a little longer. And we continue walking a little longer. And finally we continue walking a little longer. And we're like, what in the world? A kilometer and a half? Like, this guy had to have been pulling our leg because this feels a lot longer than a kilometer and a half. And my heart began to long for the courts of the camp. My heart began to faint. My soul began to pine for the courts of the camp. I just needed to get to the camp. And finally, we made it to a hill, and it was quite a big hill, but it wasn't a steep hill. It was a long, drawn-out hill, and at the top, we could see the camp. And I start, like, almost tearing up inside because I am so excited that we get to go to the camp and take our bags off. And I start running up the hill, and I'm like just about in tears, and I have to stop running because I've got a 40-pound backpack on my back, and I can't run for very long. But I can imagine that the Israelites, on their long pilgrimage, on their long journey to Jerusalem, had the same eager expectation for the courts of the Lord, for the temple where the presence of God dwelled. And the psalmist in Psalm 84, he explains it how he is longing and fainting for the courts of the Lord. And at the end of his first section, there's three sections in this psalm, and at the end of the one, he says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house." Now, what does he mean, what do I mean by this word, blessed? I think Jesus uses this word as well in the Beatitudes. And I think how we can define this word, blessed, is the one who is truly happy, the one who is joyful and glad is happy because God shows them favor. They are in a state of well-being and in right relationship with God. So the psalmist says, "Blessed is the one who dwells in your house. Blessed are those who dwell in your house." The psalmist is right in saying, "Blessed is the one who dwells in the house of the Lord." Because this is the very place where the people can encounter the presence of God. They can be with God. So why would not his soul long for the courts of the Lord? Why would his soul not faint for the courts of God? He says, "How lovely is your dwelling place," or "How dear, how beloved is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." And he uses the name of God, Lord of hosts. He doesn't just use, "Oh, how lovely is your dwelling place, God." He says, "O Lord of hosts." Now, why would he use this word, Lord of hosts? The hosts were or are the heavenly powers and angels that act at the Lord's command. I think the reason why the author uses this name for God is because he is not just amazed, or he's not just possessed with amazement and awe for the temple. He is amazed and awestruck for God, with God himself. He is in wonder of God himself. He is in awe of God, the God who is in command of angel armies and created the universe, the God who created all things, the God who is described in the book of Hebrews as upholding the universe by the power of his word, the God who we see in Revelation chapter 4 with these creatures who are around him with eyes in front of them and eyes behind them, and all they do day and night is sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The God who is also seen with 24 elders around the throne, worshiping him. They fall down before him. They're casting their crowns at his feet, and they say, "Worthy are you, Lord, O our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." That is why I think the psalmist says, "Lord of hosts," because he is enamored with God himself. Lord of hosts is closely and deeply associated with the Ark of the Covenant, which was the representation of God's presence. The psalmist says, "My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." With his whole being, he longed for the courts of God. He longed for the presence of God. Some translations, they use this word pine, and the psalmist says, my soul pines for the courts of God. This word means suffering mental and physical decline, especially due to a broken heart. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts. The psalmist here, according to Derek Kidner, a commentator, he says the psalmist is expressing deep envy of even the birds of the air who can fly into the temple, fly into the courts of the Lord, and make their home there all day long. They can lay their young on the altar of the Lord. And we see again this longing and this aching and this pining in the heart of the psalmist to be near to God. His heart is aching to be near, to be in his presence, to be comforted by him. He refers to the temple as a house, and the house represents safety and security, comfort and rest. And then he says in verse 4, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise." He emphatically states in verse 4, at the end of the first section of this verse, of this song, that those who dwell in the house of the Lord are truly blessed. They are truly happy and joyful and fulfilled. Blessed are those who have constant access to the house of the Lord. Now, why are those individuals blessed? Why are those who dwell in the house of the Lord blessed? Have you ever been in a place, maybe here, or maybe in nature, or somewhere, where you have felt the presence of God so strongly that you are struck with awe and amazement, and you literally can't say or do anything? You just have to sit there and say, "You are holy. Like, you are awesome, God." Have you ever been there? I remember this one time I was leading worship, and we were worshiping, we were singing, it was a great time. And all of a sudden, the tangible presence of the Lord filled the room. And you could feel the presence of God all around. And it seemed like everything just began to stand still. And all we could do, who were in the room, all we could do is just be in awe and wonder and say, "Holy are you, Lord." And at the end, everyone who was in that room that night was blessed and favored by God to have been there, to be in his tangible presence. You are blessed, you are truly happy, joyful, and glad when you realize that God is all you need. You are blessed when your soul pines for the courts of the living God, when your soul thirsts for his presence. Why? Because he is the only thing that matters. When we long for Jesus, we long for the right thing. Our priorities are aligned, and we are satisfied in him, and we are satisfied in him alone. John Piper, he famously said this. He said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. The psalmist was satisfied in God alone. The psalmist was unsatisfied when he wasn't in the courts of the Lord. He longed for the courts of the Lord. Those who are truly happy, those who are truly joyful, long for and pursue the presence of the living God. In the next section, verse 5, the psalmist begins by saying, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. So in this context, remember I shared at the beginning, the context of this psalm is a pilgrimage of the Jewish believer or individual going to the courts of the Lord, going, longing for the temple, and they're on this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And it says, those who are blessed find their strength in you. Eugene Peterson, he says it like this in his Message Bible. How blessed are those in whom you live, whose lives become roads that you travel. How blessed are we when we live lives filled with the presence of God, when our hearts are filled with the desire to be in his presence, when we find our ability to get through hard times in this life by being rooted in him, being satisfied in him alone, then we are truly blessed. In verse 6, he says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. It was believed that no one really knows where this valley of Baca is, but it's believed that the Jewish believer going to the temple would travel through this valley. And in English, it would be translated the Valley of Weeping. And so it's interesting, the commentator Bullock, he says this. He says, the point of this statement is that the pilgrim's heart is transformed by the love of the temple and in turn transformed the valley into a spring. So the psalmist, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's going through the valley of weeping. And as he longs for the courts of God, as he longs for the presence of the living God, the places that he walks become springs. They no longer stay the valley of weeping. Which got me thinking this week, we as believers, as we go through difficult seasons in life, wherever we go, when we pursue the presence of the Lord, we actually create a place around us, and the areas that we go begin to thrive. And the presence of God goes with us. And the areas that we go are transformed and renewed. Oftentimes I've heard people say that the place where they have felt the closest to God is when they are in hardships and in difficult seasons. When we are satisfied in him alone, when we desire him alone, our valleys in life become some of the most fruitful seasons of our life. They become springs of living water. This one time, In 2011, when Becky and I left, we were living in Montana at the time, and we had to leave, and we came actually to Cochrane, and we both got jobs at a campground, and I desperately wanted to be in ministry. I wanted to be leading worship, and I wanted to be preaching, and what was I doing? I was cutting grass. I was trimming bushes, and I was fixing things at a campground. And some days I pursued the Lord and His presence, and I prayed, and I was strong, and I was like, yes, God, I know the promises that You have for my life, and I'm going to believe them even while I'm cutting grass. And other days, it was really tough. But you know, the Lord did incredible things in that time, in that difficult season. There were days where I was able to, this one time I was filling up a gentleman's RV with water. And we got to talking and he said, yeah, you know, once you're done filling this up, my wife and I were headed to into Calgary, we're headed to the hospital. I was like, oh, can I ask why? And he said, well, my wife has a tumor on her neck, and it's looking like it's probably cancer. And I said, you know what? I'm really sorry to hear that. Do you mind if I go into your RV and pray with your wife? And do you mind if I lay hands on her and ask the Lord to heal her? And he said, you know what? She would love that. And I got to go in there and pray with her and minister to her and allow the comforting presence of the Lord to come in there and be there. And then there were other days where this lady was in the front office and she was on her phone and just crying and crying and crying and couldn't stop crying. And she hung up the phone and I began to talk with her. And she said, my boyfriend just passed away and our son, we're both going through a really difficult time. And I said, can I just pray with you right now? And she's like, absolutely. And I got to pray with her, and I gave her a Bible, and I gave her some worship songs. And the Lord did incredible things in that season where I wanted to be in ministry, where I wanted to be on the stage and the center of attention. And God moved in those times where I was working at a campground. I want you to remember that when you are walking through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, that when you surrender your life to the Lord, some days are going to be great, some days are going to be difficult. Surrender your life to the Lord, and some of those seasons will be the most fruitful seasons of your life. I look back on that season of my life, and I am completely blown away by the opportunities that the Lord gave me in those times. The most difficult seasons can be the most fruitful seasons that you will ever go through. And the psalmist says, you will even go from strength to strength. In verse 7, along the journey we find strength in God. We continue in His strength, and we finally make it to Zion. We may not always feel like we have strength to continue. But when we find our strength in God, we find strength to strength. We go from being strong to being even stronger in the Lord. How do we find these new levels of strength? It's cheesy, it's cliche, you've heard it 1,000 times before. You dive deep into prayer. You dive deep into worship. You dive deep into the presence of God, pursuing His heart. Some of the most incredible times, most impactful times that my family has had, is we are going through a difficult time. We are feeling down. We are feeling discouraged. We are feeling heavy. what do? We throw on YouTube and we throw on worship. And we worship together as a family. And we have dance parties in our house. Dancing in the presence of the Lord. And what does this do? It changes the atmosphere around us. We dive into prayer. We go from strength to strength. If you need strength today, dive into prayer. Dive into worship. Go after the heart of God. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, it talks about putting on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Are you feeling heavy today? Worship. Are you feeling discouraged today? Praise the Lord. Thank him for his goodness. Run to his heart. And then the psalmist ends with a prayer. Oh, hear my prayer, Lord of hosts. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield. And then diving into the last section in verse 10, the psalmist says, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. The doorkeeper was kind of the lowest job in the temple. And they would guard the doors that no intruders would come in, and they would protect it. It was kind of the lowest menial task of the temple. And Charles Spurgeon, he says, God's lowest, or God's worst, is better than the devil's best. And the psalmist says, I would rather be a doorkeeper than dwell in the tents of the wicked. God's worst is better than the devil's best. Again, we see the heart of the writer, and he says, knowing God is the only thing that matters. Knowing God and being in his presence and being near his heart is the only thing that I am going to go after. It's the only thing that I'm going to pursue. Nothing could be more important. All he wanted to do was be with God. The Apostle Paul echoes these words in Philippians 3, verse 8. And he says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. One time when I was growing up, I'm totally not throwing my mom under the bus, so hear me out here. That's for the record, Mom, if you're watching. I was sitting at the computer desk and listening to a sermon. And she comes down the stairs and she said, you're more heavenly minded than you are any earthly good. The reason why she said that, though, is because I was supposed to be doing chores. I was supposed to be vacuuming the house. So, yes, I was the one being disobedient. She had every right to say that. John Piper, he said this. He says, yes, I know it is possible to be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly use. My problem is, I've never met one of those people. And I suspect that if I met them, the problem would not be that his mind is full of the glories of heaven, but that his mind is empty and his mouth is full of meaningless speech. I suspect that for every professing believer who is useless in this world because of otherworldliness, there are 100 who are useless because of this worldliness. I think our psalmist and John Piper are saying the same thing. We need to be more heavenly minded. We need to pursue the presence of the Lord. We need to have a heart like the psalmist who says, better is one day in your presence than anywhere else, than 1,000 elsewhere. Loving God, coming back to the first commandment with every aspect of our being. And finally, the psalmist, he says, those who trust in God are truly blessed. Those who are truly happy trust in the Lord. Those that look to God for their provision, those who look to God for their strength, those who look to God to be their shield and defender will be blessed. So how can we sum this all up this morning into the heart of Jesus? John 15, 4 and 5 says this, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he is the one who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Ultimately, we must abide in Christ. Blessed are those who dwell in Christ. Blessed are those whose strength is in Christ. And blessed are those who trust in God. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We declare this morning that one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. God, we long for your presence. We long to be near your heart. And God, I pray that you would increase our hunger for Jesus this morning. I pray that, as Jesus said, those who bear much fruit are those who abide in me. And this morning I ask God that we would abide in Jesus. Blessed are those who abide in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.